Ekatra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge, simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Today, we're looking at something really fundamental, something you probably do all the time without maybe thinking too much about it, annotation.
Yeah, highlighting, scribbling notes in the margins.
Exactly. We're diving into the book Annotation by Remy Collier and Antero Garcia. And it's, well, it's kind of eye-opening.
It really is. Our goal here is to maybe shift how you think about those notes. Because this book argues annotation isn't just, you know, a study technique you do alone.
Right, not just for homework.
Not at all. It's presented as this incredibly powerful fundamental literacy practice. It changes you from just passively reading stuff to actively, well, making meaning yourself, participating.
I mean, think about it. We highlight, we jot down thoughts, maybe drop comments in a Google Doc, but we don't often stop and think, wow, I'm part of a tradition here.
A really old one. Thousands of years. And why does this matter right now? Well, the authors argue it's urgent. We're drowning in information, right? So much noise, misinformation.
It's overwhelming.
And they say collaborative annotation, doing it together, might be one of the best tools we have to actually engage critically, collectively, with all this stuff flying at us.
It's about building shared understanding, which feels pretty essential today.
Definitely. Okay, so who are the authors?
Yeah.
Remy Collier and Antero Garcia, they bring different things to the table, which makes the book really strong, I think.
Yeah, they have this great synergy. Collier comes from educational technology, learning sciences. He's interested in the mechanics, you could say.
The how.
Exactly. How do we build digital tools, platforms that actually help us annotate and learn together effectively, not just clutter things up?
Okay, so the architecture of the conversation.
Right. And then Garcia complements that perfectly. His background is in literacy, education, critical pedagogy, social justice.
So more the why and the who.
Kind of. He focuses on the civic side, the equity aspect. How can annotation empower voices that maybe don't get heard often? How can it challenge dominant stories, make learning more democratic?
I really like that combination.
Yeah.
It lets them cover so much ground, tracing annotation from, like, ancient scrolls right up to the latest apps.
Yeah, it gives it that historical depth.
It's not just about the tools, is it? It's about this basic human need to engage with text socially.
Which brings us neatly to the book's core idea. Annotation is part history, part theory, and honestly, part manifesto.
A manifesto? How so?
Well, it strongly pushes back against this modern idea that reading is something you do silently, alone.
Oh.
It argues we need to completely reframe annotation, not a chore you do by yourself,
yeah,
but a collective social act, something that could actually revolutionize education.
And society, maybe. They talk about tackling inequalities, fostering deeper, more democratic ways of engaging with texts everywhere.
That's the big vision. So the book starts by kind of clearing the ground, dismantling misconceptions, like annotation is just for studying or it's purely individual.
Right, getting rid of those assumptions.
Then they build their case, looking at the history, the cognitive reasons we do it, the civic potential. It's a really thorough journey.
Let's dig into that history a bit, because chapter two was, for me, just fascinating. This whole idea that reading used to be way more social.
Absolutely. Challenging the myth of the solitary reader. And the examples they use are, well, profound. The Talmud is maybe the most striking one.
Okay, the Talmud. Central text in rabbinic Judaism. Explain how its physical form illustrates their point about annotation being a conversation.
It's like the ultimate visual aid for their argument. If you actually look at a page from the Talmud, the main text, the original scripture, it's often quite small, like an island in the middle. And it's surrounded by these layers, rings of commentary written by scholars over centuries. It's literally a conversation unfolding on the page across generations, debating, adding, building knowledge together. The layout shows the social process.
Wow. So the book's structure is the argument in a way. That's incredible. And then they jump centuries forward to Pierre de Fermat, the mathematician. Seems like a totally different case, a private note.
Right. But it shows a ripple effect, the incredible power even one note can have. Fermat scribbled in the margin of his book, Arithmetica, claiming he'd proved this theorem, his famous last theorem, but
the margin was too small to write it down. The classic excuse.
Exactly. And that single cryptic private note kicked off a 358-year quest by mathematicians worldwide to find the proof.
3.5 centuries of intellectual work sparked by one guy's marginalia.
Yeah.
It makes you think twice about doodling in your books.
It really does. So that covers some of the history, the where. But chapters 3 and 4 dive more into the why, the cognitive side, and then the digital world.
Okay, so why do we annotate? The obvious reason is memory, right? Helping things stick.
Sure, memory aid is part of it. But also deepening comprehension. And importantly, externalizing our thoughts, having that sort of inner dialogue with the author, but making it visible.
Visible thinking, they call it, or metacognition. Writing down your questions, your connections.
Yeah.
It actually helps you figure out what you think.
Precisely. And then when you share that visible thinking, that's where the magic happens for groups. The authors point out when students share annotations, they're basically teaching each other.
Ah, so you're not just learning the material, you're learning how other people understand the material.
Exactly, which boosts critical thinking, understanding, all of that. And this leads right into the digital tools we have now. Things like Hypothesis, Genius.
Right, platforms where people can annotate websites, articles, poems together online.
Yeah, but the authors are really clear. The specific tech isn't the main point. It's the social practice the tech enables.
What's key is that these tools allow for, what do they call it? Hyper-contextualized conversation.
Yes. Explain that a bit. How is annotating on Hypothesis different from, say, just leaving comments in a Google Doc?
Well, think about Google Docs comments. They're often general, maybe at the end or tied to a paragraph.
Yeah.
Tools like Hypothesis let you anchor a comment, a question, a link, to a specific word or phrase.
Ah, okay. Much more precise.
Right. The conversation happens right on the text, layer upon layer. It makes the dialogue much more focused, much more integrated with the source itself. It's closer to that Talmudic model, in a way.
That makes sense. The tool helps bring back that ancient practice of the shared margin.
And the most urgent use case they explore, I think, is in Chapter 5. Annotation as a civic tool.
Yes. This feels like their core call to action for today. They basically say social annotation is an antidote, or could be, to our current age of misinformation.
How so? How does it work civically?
Well, imagine citizens using these tools together. They could collectively fact check a news article right on the page, or add context to complex data in a government report, or debate a new policy proposal, line by line.
Demystifying things, like explaining jargon in legislation.
Exactly. It's about democratizing sense-making.
Yeah.
Making complex public documents accessible and debatable by everyone, not just experts.
That sounds incredibly powerful. But, okay, the potential downside. If everyone can annotate anything, mm-hmm. What about trolls? Or people spreading more misinformation through annotations? Mm-hmm. How do they address that risk?
That's a really crucial point, and they don't ignore it. They argue that, yes, these spaces need good design, moderation, community norms, but the answer isn't to shut down the conversation.
Okay.
It's to lean into responsible, contextualized engagement. The idea is, if knowledge is being co-created, the community itself has a stake in refining it, challenging bad takes. Yeah. The layered nature of annotation, text, comment, reply actually forces more complexity and context, which is inherently better than just, you know, passively consuming a potentially biased source.
Right. It pushes back against just scrolling and accepting. It demands you contribute, you question.
And connecting that to the bigger picture, it's about challenging who gets to interpret things. Historically, it was often elites, specific scholars. Social annotation potentially gives that power back or distributes it more widely. Students critiquing textbooks, citizens questioning official narratives.
That democratization idea, it seems central to their argument for education, too.
Absolutely. That really comes through in the key themes. We can maybe highlight 3 main takeaways.
Good idea. First one for me has to be annotation as conversation. It just flips the script on reading. It's not passive intake. It's active dialogue with the author, with yourself, with others.
Yeah, that's fundamental. Second, relatedly, annotation and power dynamics, the democratization piece. Giving everyone the tools to question, to add context, redistributes authority. It promotes equity by letting more voices challenge the standard narratives.
Like talking back to the text, but in a constructive way. And the third one,
annotation as visible thinking, that metacognition idea. Writing your thoughts down clarifies them for you. But crucially, when shared, it lets others see how you're thinking, how you're learning. It makes the process transparent.
Which is huge for teaching and collaboration. Yeah. You can actually see where someone is struggling or making a cool connection.
Right. And the book has some really memorable ways of phrasing these ideas. I pulled out 3 paraphrased concepts that really stuck with me.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, the foundational one. Annotation is inherently social, even when it appears to be individual.
Meaning even my private notes aren't truly private. Because I'm using shared language, ideas I got from others. I'm never really reading in a total bubble.
Exactly. You're always drawing on social knowledge. Second, capturing that dual benefit. When students annotate together, they engage in collaborative meaning-making that builds both understanding and community, learning and connecting.
I like that, the academic and the social together. And the third.
The urgent one, the civic call. In an age of misinformation, the ability to publicly annotate is a fundamental requirement for democratic citizenship.
Wow. So it's not just a nice-to-have skill. It's essential for democracy to function.
That's the implication. We need to be equipped not just to read the news or the laws, but to actively question them, contextualize them, debate them together. It elevates annotation quite a bit.
It really does. Okay, so let's make this practical. How can listeners apply this if you're a student or just learning anything?
Ditch the passive highlighting. Seriously. Adopt what they call a dialogic approach. Use those margins, physical or digital. Write questions. Summarize in your own words. Make connections to other things you know. Don't just mark what's important. Write why it's important to you.
And if you're doing group work,
use shared annotation tools. Make your thinking visible to your collaborators. It can turn a messy group project into something much more integrated and, frankly, less painful.
Okay, and for those of us maybe not in school, citizens, professionals.
Apply it at work. Reviewing a complex report. Instead of a confusing email chain, suggest using in-context annotations for clearer, more transparent feedback.
Good one. Avoids the reply-all nightmare.
Totally. And civically. Treat texts, news articles, policy papers, even stuff on social media, not as finished products, but as starting points for discussion. Use these skills to question sources, point out biases, add context, maybe even publicly using online tools.
Treat every text as an invitation to converse. I like that. Thinking back on our dive, what surprised you most?
You know, it was probably the sheer continuity of it all, the realization that a medieval monk carefully adding a note, a scholia, to a manuscript, and a student today dropping a comment on a PDF using Hypothesis, they're fundamentally doing the same social act. It's this deep, enduring human impulse to engage with texts together. That blew me away a bit.
Yeah, that is pretty profound. For me, the most valuable takeaway was really grasping the potential for equity. This idea that annotation, if we're intentional about using it collaboratively, could genuinely help address some longstanding inequalities.
How so?
By giving more people the platform and the legitimacy to question dominant narratives, to add their perspective, to refine collective understanding, it feels like a tool for building a more participatory, maybe fairer society.
Preparing people for active citizenship.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the final thought for you listening, what if we really committed to this? Treating every text we encounter this week, emails, articles, reports, whatever, not as something final, but as an opening for dialogue. How might that change how we engage with the world?
What will you annotate next?
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.